Welcome to SCOTUSCast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Thank you for joining us for this post-decision episode of SCOTUSCast, Public Sector Unions, Agency Fees, and the First Amendment Edition. I'm your host, Bridget Flaherty. On June 27, 2018, the Supreme Court decided Janus versus American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, Council 31, a case considering the forced subsidizing of unions by public employees, even if they choose not to join the union or strongly disagree with many positions the union takes in collective bargaining. Under Illinois law, public employees are permitted to unionize, and if a majority of employees in a particular bargaining union vote to unionize, then that union is designated as the exclusive representative of all the employees in collective bargaining, even those members who choose not to join the union. Non-members are required to pay a, quote, agency fee, which is a percentage of the full union dues and covers union expenses, quote, germane to the union's collective bargaining activities, but cannot cover any political or ideological projects sponsored by the union. Mark Janus works at the Illinois Department of Healthcare and Family Services. The employees in his unit are represented by American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, Council 31. Janus did not join the union because he opposed many of its positions, including those taken in collective bargaining. But he was required to pay 78.06% of full union dues as a, quote, agency fee, a fee resulting in a payment of $44.58 per month and about $535 per year. Janus and two other state employees joined a lawsuit brought by the governor of Illinois against the union in federal district court, seeking a declaration that the statutory imposition of agency fees was unconstitutional. The district court dismissed the governor for lack of standing, but proceeded to reject the claims of Janus and the other employees on the merits, finding their challenge foreclosed by the U.S. Supreme Court's 1977 decision in Abood v. Detroit Board of Education. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit affirmed, but the Supreme Court granted certiorari to reconsider whether public sector agency fee arrangements are constitutional. By a vote of 5-4, the U.S. Supreme Court reversed the judgment of the Seventh Circuit and remanded the case. In an opinion delivered by Justice Alito, the court overruled Abood and held that state extraction of agency fees from non-consenting public sector employees violates the First Amendment. Thus, states and public sector unions may no longer extract agency fees from non-consenting employees. Justice Alito's majority opinion was joined by the Chief Justice and Justices Kennedy, Thomas, and Gorsuch. Justice Sotomayor filed a dissenting opinion. Justice Kagan also filed a dissenting opinion, which was joined by Justices Ginsburg, Breyer, and Sotomayor. And now, to discuss the case, we have Raymond LaJeunesse, Vice President and Legal Director of the National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation.
On June 27, 2018, the United States Supreme Court decided the case called Janus versus American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. This decision was a major victory for the rights of workers who want free choice as to whether to support unions or not. The case has quite a bit of history, actually. The issue of whether public employees could be forced to pay union fees first came to the Supreme Court of the United States in 1977, in a case called Abood versus Detroit Board of Education, which was brought by attorneys from the National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation for teachers in the city of Detroit. And the courts unanimously held that public employees could not be forced to pay union fees for politics, but they 6-3 held that they could be required to pay union fees for bargaining costs despite the First Amendment. The issue came again to the court in a glancing way in two subsequent cases, in 2012 in a case called Knox, and in 2014 in a case called Harris versus Quinn, both of which were, again, cases brought by National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation attorneys for workers. And in both of those cases, the court criticized Abood's analysis of the First Amendment question as, quote, questionable, unquote. In Knox, the court held that objecting nonmembers could not be required to support a union special assessment for political purposes unless they affirmatively consented. And in Harris v. Quinn, the court held that home care providers receiving state funds to care for disabled could not be forced to pay union fees at all because they're not distinguishing Abood, after criticizing it, distinguishing Abood as not applicable because those individuals were not actually public employees, but simply persons who received state funds. The issue squarely went before the court in 2016 in a case called Friedrichs versus California Teachers Association, but unfortunately, after oral argument was held, the court deadlocked 4-4 because of Justice Scalia's death, and therefore Abood continued to stand. In 2015, relying on the Harris decision, the new Illinois Governor Bruce Rauner filed in federal court for a declaratory judgment that forced union fees for Illinois state employees are unconstitutional. Knowing that the governor was going to have standing problems, foundation attorneys moved to intervene on behalf of three state employees and filed a complaint requesting an injunction against the collection of the force fees. And that led to the district court dismissing the governor but granting the employees intervention and accepting their complaint. After the Supreme Court 4-4 affirmed the Ninth Circuit's Friedrichs decision that Abood still controlled, the district court dismissed the case. The case then went to the Seventh Circuit, which affirmed the dismissal on March 21, 2017. A petition for cert was filed for plaintiff Mark Janus, and that petition was granted by the Supreme Court on September 28, 2017. This is a very much watched case. There were 24 amicus briefs that supported overruling Abood, including one filed by the U.S. government. On February 26, 2018, Foundation staff attorney Bill Messenger and U.S. Solicitor General Noel Francisco presented oral argument for the overruling of Abood. Based on the argument, there was no apparent change from the 4-4 division on the members of the justices who were on the court at the time of Friedrichs. Justice Gorsuch, the new justice, asked no questions, so there were no hints as to how he would rule. Two of the most interesting exchanges at oral argument are worth looking at. Justice Kennedy asked the union attorney, quote, if you do not prevail in this case, the unions will have less political influence, yes or no, end quote. And the union attorney answered, quote, yes, they will have less political influence, end quote. Justice Kennedy quickly responded, isn't that the end of this case? Because, of course, the argument by the plaintiff is that the First Amendment prohibits forcing individuals, public employees, to support union politics. And if collective bargaining with the government is political, as plaintiff's counsel urged, then that violates the First Amendment to force an individual to support it. Another interesting passage, oral argument, at the end of his argument, the union attorney argued, quote, union security is the trade-off for no strikes, and so if you were to overrule Abood, you can raise an untold specter of labor unrest throughout the country, end quote. Foundation attorney Bill Messenger at that point got up for rebuttal and immediately said that argument made by the union attorney, quote, would make agency fees effectively a form of protection money. That's not an interest that this court can accept as a compelling one for infringing on individuals' First Amendment rights. The decision was issued on June 27, and the opinion of the court was authored by Justice Alito, who had also authored Knox and Harris, joined by Chief Justice Roberts and Justices Kennedy, Thomas, and Gorsuch, specifically overruling Abood. The dissent of the four liberals was written by Justice Kagan, joined by Justices Ginsburg, Breyer, and Sotomayor. The decision first addressed the First Amendment issue, and the court did hold that public sector agency shop arrangements violate the First Amendment, and Abood erred in concluding otherwise because the process of bargaining with the government is no different from lobbying. and the court rejected the justifications that Abood had relied on. First was labor peace, and the court at this point held that labor peace can be readily achieved without forced fees, pointing to the fact that collective bargaining proceeds normally in states that have right-to-work laws and in the federal government, which prohibits forced union fees under the Federal Labor Relations Act. And the second justification on which Abood had relied was the free rider argument, which is that the non-members were receiving purported benefits of union bargaining and therefore should subsidize it. But the court in Janus held that, quote, avoiding free riders is not a compelling interest, end quote. The court, of course, had to address stare decisis as to whether Abood should be overruled, and the majority concluded that stare decisis did not require them to retain Abood. The first reason the court gave was that Abood was not well-reasoned, following the decision in Harris, which had specified in about six different ways that Abood was not well-reasoned. The court also noted that Abood has not proved workable because of all of the litigation trying to draw the line between collective bargaining and contract administration on one hand and political and ideological activity on the other, that the courts had wrestled with that since Abood 40 years earlier and had difficulty drawing that line, and because the cost of challenging union calculations of the chargeable fees was an immense burden on non-members who wished to not pay for the union politics. And finally, the majority said that Abood conflicts with other First Amendment decisions, not only Harris and Knox, the more recent decisions, but the line of political patronage cases going all the way back to Elrod v. Burns, which was decided before Abood, in which the court held that public employees could not be compelled to affiliate and support political parties as a condition of public employment. One factor that has to be considered any time the court decides whether to overrule a prior case is whether there's reliance by the parties or some of the parties or other interests. And the court here said that reliance does not carry decisive weight, quote, because public sector unions have been on notice for years regarding this court's misgivings about Abood, end quote, referring, of course, to the decisions in Knox and Harris, which were 2012 and 2014. And therefore, the court held, quote, states and public sector unions may no longer extract agency fees from non-consenting employees. We had argued in our briefs, though it was not a separate question, that because unions and states had adopted schemes which extracted full union dues from non-members, requiring them to object sometimes annually and sometimes during narrow window periods, that the court should address whether affirmative consent was required before public employees could be required to pay anything to a union. And the court did go on to address that issue, giving us what we consider a bonus holding. The court said that, quote, neither an agency fee nor any other payment to the union may be deducted from a non-member's wages, nor may any other attempt be made to collect such a payment unless the employee affirmatively consents to pay, end quote. The court then went on to say that consent cannot be presumed. Quote, by agreeing to pay, non-members are waiving their First Amendment rights, and such a waiver must be freely given and shown by clear and compelling evidence, end quote. That, of course, supports our position that as a result of Janus, any dues deduction authorization signed by public employees, even members, before Janus was decided and recognized the First Amendment right, are invalid and cannot be used to justify taking fees from the wages of public employees. If unions want fees to be taken from the wages of members, members have to sign new deduction authorizations with full knowledge of their rights under Janus. And the court made it clear that the union and the public employer have the burden of showing that such a knowing waiver occurred. So what follows from Janus? Well, the foundation at the time Janus was decided had eight other lawsuits challenging agency fee requirements. These cases, of course, will now be litigated to conclusion. In fact, one of them, the Nierman case, on behalf of a public employee in Oregon, has already been settled, and she's been returned 2 years of force fees that were collected from her. Obviously, these restitution claims are limited by the statute of limitations, and that was the case here. But she got back nearly $3,000 in illegal force fees already under that settlement. After Janice was decided, I sent demand letters to the 20 of the 22 states that were collecting force fees from non-members. I didn't send it to Illinois and California because by the time I had drafted the demand letters, those states had already stopped the deductions. But those letters were sent out on July 2nd, and most, if not all, of those states have now stopped collecting from non-members at the state level. According to the Wall Street Journal, yesterday, for example, Pennsylvania stopped deductions from the wages of 24,000 state employees who had, in the prior year, 2017, been forced to pay $6.6 million. So you can see a significant loss to the unions there. And in New York, similarly, deductions stopped from the wages of 31,000 state employees who had been forced to pay $9 to $10 million in the prior year. In addition, litigation is now going on to challenge opt-out requirements for public employees. That is, requirements, as I mentioned earlier, where, and this had been going on under Abood, if you were a non-member and you objected to paying the part of the fee that goes to politics, you had to opt out and make an objection, normally during a narrow window period every year. Knox, of course, said that such requirements are unconstitutional for special assessments, and in a follow-up case called Amidi versus SEIU, which is now at the Ninth Circuit, we challenged the requirement that even on the normal payments of agency fees, the union had to get affirmative consent, not require opting out through an objection on an annual basis. A class was certified in the case of 40,000 non-member California state employees, which if we win at the Ninth Circuit, which we should under Janus, those folks will be entitled to more than $100 million in restitution. That case, the court has just now notified us that argument will be held in San Francisco. At some point, they haven't given us a specific date, in November, December, or January. And the day after the Supreme Court decided Janus, we had a petition pending in the case called Riffey versus Rauner, which was the continuation of the Harris case, the home care provider case. We had a petition for cert pending because the Seventh Circuit had held that class should not be certified because each individual provider who had money seized from them without consent had to prove that they objected at the time the monies were taken, which obviously is contrary to the Janus ruling that affirmative consent has to be obtained to take any money from non-members. And the day after Janus was decided, the Supreme Court granted our petition, vacated the Seventh Circuit decision, and remanded that case for reconsideration in light of Janus. That case involves a purported class or a potential class of 80,000 home care providers who paid more than $32 million in force fees. The Seventh Circuit has asked for statements of position as to what it should do. And also, the day after Janus was decided, we filed this petition for certiorari in a private sector case challenging the annual objection window period for private employees who object to use of their dues for politics. Janus should be a favorable precedent in support of the court granting that petition for certiorari. There's also a lot of post-Janus litigation, not only brought by foundation attorneys for public employees, but by other attorneys in private practice and other litigating organizations. We call these clawback suits. These are cases in which the plaintiffs are asking for restitution of monies taken in prior periods in violation of workers' First Amendment rights under Janus. The Janus ruling that the unions could not, at least since Knox was decided in 2012, rely on the constitutionality under Abood, and therefore that would help the plaintiffs' arguments in these cases. We're assuming that what's going to happen in Hamidi, the California state employee case, is that when remanded, the full period within the statute of limitations, obviously, that all of those dues, which force fees, which amount to more than $100 million, would have to be refunded. Same thing in Riffey versus Rauner, the follow-up to Harris. Again, there we're talking $32 million. And there's many other such cases filed by others, as I said. In addition, blue states and unions are passing new laws to try to make it difficult for workers to get out of deduction authorizations or to convince them to join unions. Some of these statutes provide for mandatory orientation meetings, which the non-members have to attend with the union officials. Obviously, that we contend that is a violation of freedom of association. Some states are considering actually making direct state subsidies of the unions. The issues in those cases will be very interesting. And others are adopting legislation, at least two states have done so far, which say that the union doesn't have any duty to represent non-members in grievances unless the non-members pay for that. That, of course, puts into issue the constitutionality of exclusive representation. You can't say that employees have no right to represent themselves in establishing their terms and conditions of employment and are bound by the union-negotiated contract, yet if they have a grievance under that contract, they have to pay for it, and the union doesn't have to represent them. Finally, the foundation has put up a new website called myjanusrights.org with information for workers who want to know their rights under Janus.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. SCOTUSCast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUSCast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's fedsoc.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.